all those plastic bags floating around in the air and the trees, that's not such a good thing. And there is some good news, though, on the effort to reduce those single-use plastic bags from being out there in our environment. And we try to bring you the good news. Lord knows we're aware of the bad news that's happening ecologically in our world these days, mostly right off the coast of the Gulf states, Louisiana in particular. So we're going to celebrate now a legislative victory with Brian Early. He's with Californians Against Waste. He's in charge of their litter control program. And thanks for joining us, Brian, to bring us news of another green piece of legislation that narrowly squeaked by but still has a ways to go.
Thanks for having me.
I understand that this bill, which is 1998, passed by, one more vote than was needed on the Assembly floor last week?
That's correct. It was a tight squeeze, but, gauged against what the bill actually does, I think it's not bad. I mean, it's a statewide ban on plastic bags, which is a very, very aggressive policy. Definitely first in the nation. I mean, there have been some local bans, mostly here in California. Recently, Washington, D.C. passed a 5-cent fee on paper and plastic bags. But this is definitely the first statewide ban.
Once again, California leading as the green golden state the way, hopefully. And it is important to have statewide, ultimately, hopefully, you know, nationwide legislation so we can have, you know, a greener, you know, blanket policy. I can understand why local governments don't want to have to keep dealing with these things. And it's something, I think, an idea whose time has come. Tell us about the problem of single-use plastic bags for anyone who may not be aware that they're not so innocuous, even though they are plentiful, omnipresent, and free.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's exactly those reasons that you just listed. When we're driving around, plastic bags are usually the number one litter item that we see. I mean, they're always floating around the freeway, floating around the gutter, and we may not, you know, think that's such a bad thing, but, Californians use an estimated 19 billion of these plastic bags every year. I mean, that's really a staggering
number. Did you say billion with a B, Brian?
Billion with a B, yeah, billion with a B. So, I mean, it's an absolutely staggering number of plastic bags that that Californians use. And we really don't know what percent of those are littered, but it's higher than most types of single-use throwaway goods that we use, because they're basically designed to be parachutes. So for exactly the reason that we always see them flying around the road, that's why they are so problematic in the environment, because they resist all attempts at quote-unquote proper disposal. Even when you try to bale them and take them to a port to recycle them. I myself have unfortunately seen plastic bags flying out the back of a truck full of bales of plastic bags that are headed for recycling. So they're just they're extremely problematic because they're so easily transported by the wind. Once they end up in the urban environment, they head directly to the marine environment. There are estimates that the vast majority, maybe 80% of plastic litter in the oceans comes from urban sources. So when we look to phase out the sources of ocean pollution, we really have to look at what are the big sources of urban litter pollution.
And we have oceans on our mind right now, not just because of the Gulf catastrophe still unfolding, consequences unknown, but certainly, for the years to come, we're going to be dealing with the fallout from it. It was also World Oceans Day, I believe, yesterday. So let's talk for a moment about, plastic bags seem kind of like a drop in the bucket, if you will, compared to the oil gushing and despoiling, you know, marshlands and wetlands and coastal lands right now. But still, they are a problem for marine life and also a blight on one's site.
Certainly. This issue of plastic litter pollution, it's a little scary in that it's only recently been sort of discovered the extent, and we're still very, very early on in even understanding how much plastic litter are in the oceans. Over the past 10 or 15 years, thanks to the good work of the folks at the Algalita Marine Research Foundation based in Southern California, we've discovered that there is essentially a giant garbage patch floating the Pacific Ocean above Hawaii. It's roughly twice the size of Texas. And in this patch, plastic outweighs plankton by many factors, sometimes up to above 40 to 1 in terms of plastic outweighing plankton. So what happens to plastic? What happens to plastic when it's littered is that the sun slowly breaks it down into tiny particles. But these particles persist indefinitely. They don't biodegrade. No natural process really exists to break down these very strong links that are formed in plastic. They really become long-term pollution, and we don't know because plastic hasn't been around long enough for us to know how long it takes to biodegrade, basically.
Proving painfully that oil and water don't mix, not only in the Gulf waters, but also plastic bags are made from petroleum, made from oil.
Definitely. I mean, natural gas and oil in their natural states, you don't want that going in the ocean, and you don't want super refined plastic in the ocean either. So,
we are aware of Agalita, Anna Cummins, and her now husband was a fiancé at the time, Marcus Erickson, were on the program. They were riding their bikes along the West Coast to raise awareness about plastic pollution in the ocean. And, of course, David Rothschild and the Plastiki, they're still out there on the ocean. I think they were supposed to get to Christmas Island last time I heard, a week or so ago, to raise awareness about the plastic gyre. And now we hear from Anna Cummins' corner again that there's, a second gyre has been located in the Atlantic, I believe. So
yeah, that's correct.
These problems, they may be out of sight, but we're trying to make sure they're no longer out of mind.
Yeah, and you know, and we it's estimated that these vortex vertices of plastic pollution exist in all of these zones in the world's ocean. So every ocean has sort of an area where there's ocean currents stop and stuff, you know, starts to collect. And so whenever they go and trawl these areas, they do end up finding these giant collections of plastic. So it's a huge problem, and it's a global problem, and the fixes really aren't so easy necessarily. They sort of go out to the very basis of our single use, hand out for free, throwaway culture. So plastic bags are really just the beginning, but we really need to get at the larger issue of wasteful use of packaging and consumer goods in general.
Which is why I started Trash Talk Minutes back in 1997. I hate waste as much as you guys do, so just a plug for Californians Against Waste. You guys have been doing a fabulous job for as long as I've been on this beat. So how many years have you guys been in existence?
We've been here since the late 70s. We formed originally to advocate for bottle bills, for container deposit laws, which reduce beverage container litter. But we've really branched out into all issues of litter reduction and increasing recycling and diversion from landfills and litter.
So you've been there since Environment 1.0, that first environmental wave, Earth Day and all that. Good for you.
Yeah, recycling was at the very beginning.
It's funny, when I started Trash Talk Minutes, someone actually said to me, well, that's kind of an odd thing to be doing a feature on waste prevention and recycling. Didn't we, solve that already? I said, no, not. And then went from garbage to global warming, and the problems, only grew, and that's why my scope grew into EcoTalk Minutes and then hours on Air America, but they went into the red, so my green show faded to black. So here we are on internet radio, which is a good thing. Progressive Radio Network, just want to thank them for letting this kind of programming take place. So back in 2006, I recall, because I was covering this Green Beat back then as well, didn't CAW join with retailers in the plastics industry to pass legislation aimed at increasing the recycling of plastic bags? And how successful was that?
Yeah, that's correct. We've been at this in multiple approaches for quite a while, and that bill was really giving retailers the opportunity. They said that they could reduce plastic bags through recycling, and so we gave them the opportunity to prove that they could. Now, numbers are not out yet on that for that program. People have definitely noticed it, though. There are bins now in all supermarkets that where people can recycle their plastic bags and other plastic film, and the bill also required that supermarkets make reusable bags for sale. So suddenly reusable bags are popping up all over the checkout stand. Again, numbers aren't out yet for that program, but we do not think that that a sizable percentage, really at all, of plastic bags are being recycled through that program, which is sort of what we expected.
You mean that they're not getting picked up by plastic manufacturers or recyclers to actually recycle, because there has been, you know, talk that they don't get recycled, they just get thrown away, so why waste your time? And I'm never sure quite how to counter that other than to say I hope that's not the case. And I do know that the market for, you know, recycled materials, you know, ebbs and flows with the worldwide, you know, resource market, but do they get recycled in general?
Yes, there are buyers for this material, but the issue is really that people weren't necessarily bringing their bags back. But again, the overall issue about why it's difficult to recycle plastic bags, really the only way to get at plastic bags was through an in-store collection program, because if you just try to toss them in your curbside bin, they get contaminated with all sorts of stuff that's in there, and then they junk up the machinery that recyclers use. They actually, you know, physically block the progress of the conveyor belt, so recyclers absolutely hate plastic bags. And then the overall contamination really decreases their value. So the program, you know, was certainly a good way to collect plastic film, but I think in the end it proved itself not to be a good way to actually reduce the distribution of plastic bags. And we had really fought for there to be benchmarks in that program, you know, some sort of trigger that would have happened that would have banned plastic bags and put a fee on them if a certain diversion rate had not been met. Ultimately, that was not what was in that bill, and that's why we've come back with this proposal.
And is it unrealistic, unfeasible to contemplate having plastic bags be picked up at curbside if they're aggregated together? I know there was an effort. A friend of mine was actually trying to organize plastic bag recycling with the, you know, plastic manufacturing industry a few years back to try to get a bag that you put all your plastic bags in. Or is that really just encouraging a problem that we really shouldn't be even having?
You know, that approach was tried, and ultimately they didn't get a very large volume, but the issue with plastic bags is it's really just a problem product. You know, with most products, as long as the manufacturers actually step up and invest in recycling, which hasn't always been the case in plastic. In fact, they've been quite reticent to invest in recycling historically. But for most products, as long as there's that investment, there's a way. But plastic bags and actually polystyrene, known as styrofoam, just their physical characteristics for plastic bags, because they're so lightweight, and flimsy, and for styrofoam, again, because they're so lightweight and prone to break apart, they make the process almost impossible to pull it off. And then also just the volumes involved. I mean, you know, 19 billion is a huge number, and
it's
so to get anywhere close to something satisfactory, like an 80% recycling rate, you know. No, I was going to say it would be very difficult.
And what about looking upstream for a moment, Brian? If plastic bags are made from petroleum and natural gas, and if we are, you know, so hungry for oil that we're drilling a mile down into the ocean, isn't it kind of a waste of natural resource?
Definitely.
Even if it is a, you know, a fossil fuel?
No, it's a complete waste. And we think about how long that we use plastic bags for, and oftentimes, you know, folks at the checkout stand will stuff, you know, one or two items in a plastic bag without even asking you. It's a complete waste. I mean, just bring your reusable bag. The solution here is we're so lucky to have an easy solution to this problem, which is bring your reusable bag. I mean, in other areas, you know, it's maybe a little less clear cut, but it's not at all difficult. So.
Yeah, it's one thing to come up with alternatives for fuel that motors our cars. It's another thing to figure out how to get our groceries home.
Exactly.
That's not rocket
science. We're not building a hybrid car here. We're just bringing our cloth bag.
Okay, so if it
really
doesn't take a rocket scientist, reusable bags, why are they so hard to get the mainstream to really utilize? Is it that we're all baby boomers and losing our memory and we mean to, but we just keep forgetting to bring them from home, or we leave them in the car? Luckily, some of the grocery stores I go to are now putting up signs at the entry, at the door, that says, did you remember your reusable bag? And if I'm not in the store yet, I'll run back and get it. So when I'm standing there at the checkout line, I'm getting pretty good now. I better be. But, you know, half of it's memory and half of it's motivation, I guess.
Yeah, and I think that motivation is key. And, you know, people don't necessarily know that it's wasteful or that plastic bags, are bad for the environment. You know, they may not want to go through that extra couple of seconds of thinking about your bag and grabbing it from your car. But I've been really encouraged lately that that people really have been taking this issue, in part because it's been such a visible issue because cities have been banning bags for so long now. I think that the message
also
is really getting across.
There's a lot of pretty clever, you know, cloth bags available at the checkout stands, certainly Whole Foods and those kinds of greener markets, but they're omnipresent, so at least it's a reminder that if you forgot yours or you haven't quite gotten on the cloth bag bandwagon, there's no excuse when it's being sold for 99 cents right there, a nice big bag that will last forever.
Definitely. Yeah.
That's not a plastic bag. It just will be not useful to you or anyone else.
Exactly. It's going to turn into little shards, which aren't going to help you with your groceries, but they're not going to help marine life either. So
tell us about this legislation now. Is this going to be smooth sailing, or what still needs to happen to make plastic bags get banned in California?
Well, it's not a sure bet, but it is looking hopeful, in part because the grocers and retailers are actually supporting this bill and are pushing this bill. Their perspective is that all these local bans, which we've been supporting for some time now, and the plastic industry has been fighting them with lawsuits, but that's really a short-term strategy in the plastic industry. Eventually, they're going to lose, and there's going to be a complete flood of local bans once that issue is resolved. And so the grocers know this. They don't necessarily like having, different policies in every jurisdiction. So they would really like the state to have one policy. And so that's really the push for this bill. We've proposed this bill several times in the past, but this is really the first time where everything has come together. Along those lines, it's a good bill. We're pushing for it to be stronger. It's not necessarily the perfect bill ever. It does prevent local governments from banning paper bags, for example. The bill bans plastic. And requires a minimum sales price for paper bags to discourage the use of single-use bags. But it makes the further issue of regulation of carry-out bags a state issue.
Let's talk about recycled content of bags, both paper and plastic. Can we assume when we are using a paper bag for whatever reason that some or most of it is post-consumer recycled content? And what about plastic bags?
In California, because of the local ordinances which require them, it's become a standard for paper bags to have 40% post-consumer content. Some bags are 100%. A Duro bag, a manufacturer on the East Coast, makes 100% recycled content bags, and you see them at Whole Foods, for example. And
they also,
locations.
Whole Foods puts messaging on there to reuse the bag as well, so that's positive.
Exactly.
Is any of the plastic that goes into plastic bags with petroleum, is that from recycled plastic, or is that all virgin?
Traditionally, it's virgin. The plastic industry has grasped on that as one of their final PR strategies in terms of saying that they're going to set a goal for putting in recycled content. But the thing that makes plastic bags attractive to retailers is that they're cheap. That's why we use so many of them, and that's why plastic beat out paper, a couple decades ago in their epic battle. Because they're so cheap. And so when you start talking about putting in recycled content, into plastic bags, it really messes up that formula, especially considering that a whole bunch of them are imported from overseas.
So any statistics, Brian, on how many Californians at least are starting to use reusable bags? I hope it's growing. Is it still a fraction of the consuming public, or are we really starting to make headway?
I really don't know, and there has not been a big statewide study. There have been some local studies. Palo Alto, for example, did take a look at if their messaging regarding their plastic bag ban was working. They're encouraging folks to use reusable bags, and they had some data that showed that that people were switching. But, we really don't have a number. If AB 1998 does pass, we will have a number because we'll be able to see the number of people who choose to purchase a paper bag for 5 cents. And then we'll be able to calculate, figure out how many people are bringing their reusable bags.
Any indication, is this one of those phenomena that's just happening in the green pockets, San Francisco, Bay Area, Seattle, Portland, Madison, Wisconsin, or is this a nationwide change that we're beginning to see?
You know, surprisingly, this is really like a nationwide issue. I've been sort of surprised about where these plastic bag ban bills have been popping up. The South Carolina legislature, for example, banned plastic bags in their offshore island counties. So, you know, this is an issue that really resonates, I think, outside of the traditional sort of eco street, you know, perhaps because, you know, people encounter this, you know, sometimes on a daily basis, you know, plastic versus paper. And then also people are really sensitive to the issue of litter, and they see plastic bags everywhere. So, you know, I'm hopeful that California's approach will serve as a model for other states, and I'm confident that if this bill passes, this will not be the last that you hear about encouraging reusable bag use.
So you don't have to be a certified tree hugger to use a reusable bag. It's for all of us.
Yeah.
as should be hugging trees, or at least protecting them, since they absorb so much of our CO2. But that's another story for another segment for another day. We just have a couple minutes left. I was wondering about compostable bags. Are they part of the solution? Are they growing in demand and availability?
You know, compostable bags work in an environment like San Francisco that is heavily invested in a residential composting program. Compostable bags really are only designed to break down in an industrial composting facility. So if you were just to litter a compostable plastic bag, it really wouldn't act much differently than a regular plastic bag. So, you know, for those cities that have heavily invested in that sort of infrastructure and that, you know, people, whether they're in single-family homes or apartment complexes, have access to a bin that's going to, you know, have the stuff collected and be composted, we think compostable bags make sense in that situation. And the bill does allow for San Francisco, for retailers in San Francisco to sell compostable bags just as they can sell paper bags. But elsewhere, because that infrastructure really has not been built up, compostable bags would be prohibited by this bill.
You know, this is one of those issues that really falls under the category of convenience clashing with conservation. I mean, we're kind of going back to the past where, you know, and in many European cities, they use those net bags they always have, you know, just sort of a reusable bag as part of the culture, where we got so good at convenience that we now are seeing some of the downsides, the costs of, you know, engaging in convenience as much and as fast as and everywhere we can. Isn't that the case, that something that might seem like a perfect solution to one problem or a great product, we're now seeing, you know, has another side to it? And we're kind of going back to the simpler days, whether it's bags or building, you know, building greener with fewer, you know, toxic substances and airtight, you know, structures.
Definitely. I mean, this is one of those issues, again, you know, why it resonates perhaps outside of California. Because it wasn't all that long ago when everyone used reusable bags. And I think the waste involved in single-use bag use is just so evident that you don't necessarily have to be inclined, you don't have to be an environmentalist to think, hey, this is kind of stupid that I'm using this plastic bag for a couple seconds and then tossing it, and it's probably going to be littered. You know, if us acting this issue is really a good thing, because you know, it gets people to think about these small you know, these issues of convenience and over packaging and things they may be complacent about, but are really quite new problems that are just totally clearly wasteful.
And some other ways we can think outside the bag, if you will, just a couple of my favorites. Of course, first and foremost, try to, you know, bring your cloth bags and keep your packaging, keep your packages. You know, sometimes they give you like six bags when you really only need three. I mean, I guess if you're an 80-year-old woman and you're not that strong, but I try to consolidate as much as possible. And then also, I hate when they, you know, put like maybe a big apple juice, you know, jug that's got a handle in a bag, or, you know, buying roasted chicken, it comes in a carry pack. You know, that doesn't have to go in a bag. So to be aware and tell, you know, the checker, you know, no, I don't need a bag for that. Or if I have just a couple of small items, like from the pharmacy, you know, some makeup or something, bottle of shampoo, I'll just put it in my purse. As long as you keep your receipt with you, no one will stop you for shoplifting.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's each chain is different. Some of the big chains, thankfully, have finally started telling their checkout clerks to stop doing that stuff. I mean, it used to be a couple years ago, you look around and a lot of people were getting paper with a plastic lining on. I don't even remember that. But just a complete, you know, unnecessary, absurd combination. And
yeah, to put a six-pack of beer, you know, within a carry case inside of that, that's the kind of thing that just, I'm sure...
Yeah.
You and me nuts.
It is crazy. And so, I mean, a lot of big chains have thankfully, you know, realized that not only is this bad for the environment, but it's bad for their bottom line. I mean, why are they handing out so many of these bags necessarily? You know, some chains are still lagging behind. There are some guys that are still freely passing out, you know, too many bags, but no
it's
longer.
The same thing with wire hangers. You know, don't go to a dry cleaners if you need to go to them at all. That will welcome back your wire hangers. Don't think you need them to dig up more ore to build or create new hangers that just carry home a clean shirt or dress or jacket. So
definitely.
We're out of time, Brian, but thanks for sharing your time with us, and we wish you luck with this bill. And if anyone would like more information, your website is?
www.cwrecycles.org.
That's it for this edition of The Green Front. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg, wishing you to have a great green week. See you next time.